My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins. An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for a must-be Tuesday, but baby, it's always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris with you. Joe Fisher out today as he's out on some special sales retreat that somehow we, at the last minute, were able to afford. So it's just me and my fantastic producer who's going to sit in the two-chair double duty today. That's Jordan Schultze over there.
What's up, brother? Let's not go?
Let's not go. Yeah, who knows, buddy? But hey, this is we said it last week. This is the best time to be a host, producer, co-host, whatever you want to call us, for the Hot Corner, because baby, this S just writes itself.
I was just about to come in and lament that, you know, we're here for really awesome baseball, for really close games, like just edge of your seat kind of action, and we weren't getting that until literally you and I sat down in our chairs. Mm-hmm. Pretty freaking awesome.
I just looked up at the TV and Teoscar went deep, and I, to pull the curtain back for you out there listening, all five of you, I said to my amigo over there, Schultze, Teoscar just hit a grand slam. And he was like, "Oh, yes." It's always fun to catch a producer that's like doing producer things. Then it's like, "Oh, you didn't get the chance to watch the TV, did you?"
No, I missed the news that I'm supposed to be reporting.
That's all right. I got you back, though. I got you back.
And my response, by the way, after the amazed look on my face was, "Oh, but he strikes out too much, right?"
And I said, "Too expensive."
$22 million for that? No, I'd take it every day.
Just remember, your numbers look a lot better when you've got Mookie, Freddie, and Shohei in front of you, and not JP, Julio, and Ty France.
Protection helps, but Cal and Julio, I feel like, would be enough for Tao. But we're getting into sports too early.
Too much sports. I do love that. I do love that in this time of the year, all of a sudden, all the national pundits are all baseball experts. Have you noticed this?
Seriously, yeah.
That's like me getting on this show and talking to you about, you know, the greatest sport ever to exist. You know, we like to laugh and joke on this show about the NBA, but like when I hear national pundits talk about baseball that never talk about baseball, I'm always like, "You're so cute."
Well, I think they just...
It's so cute.
Baseball, it's like the slowest game, even though there is a lot going on, you know, like between the lines and between the ears. But for some reason, because it moves so slowly, every sports pundit out there thinks like, "Oh yeah, I could get to analyze that. I know what I'm talking about." Like, you really don't.
And the national pundits are all like, "Dude, it's Dodgers-Yankees." And it's like, is it? Like, anybody that talks baseball is like, "Those teams got a lot of problems."
Royals-Padres, maybe?
Royals-Padres sounds more believable.
Yeah. Nobody cares. No, Kansas City v. San Diego.
But, you know, I'll give some props to the primetime boys that were in here. They're big baseball guys. They might not talk a lot of baseball on their show, but they are both big baseball guys.
Huge.
Especially Rop and his Royals. And Sook's a big baseball guy. He's a baseball family. So I always listen to what they say, but I mean, they even said it in passing at the end, like, this Dodger team is not very good. And we'll get to them a little bit later on as we start to kind of break down all the matchups that are going on. But that's where I always get to laugh at the national media. They're like, Yankees, Dodgers. And it's like, have you seen these teams?
It's literally the same as like, oh, Lakers, Knicks. Like, they want that legacy matchup, that blue chip, you know, Celtics, Lakers, 70s, 80s final.
Hey, LeBron's good, but it's me and Schultzy playing with him. You know, like, you're not going to win.
Pretty freaking much. You're and his kid.
You're not going to win. You know, you're just not going to win. So I've been having a lot of fun just kind of, you know, these are the days when maybe I should preface it this way. These are the days that us as baseball fans get to revel in the fact that we're baseball fans.
Yeah.
So somebody looks at this game tonight, 6-1. Man, the Padres, the Dodgers are really screwing up this one. And it's like, well, no. The Padres might be the better team.
I mean,
you know, we get to laugh. Possible. We get to enjoy it because we actually see how it goes down. You know, it's not like that guy at your Super Bowl party that's like, you know what, dude? I think the Rams got a really good chance of beating this Patriots team. I think Tom Brady is washed. And you're like, dude, you don't watch football, do you?
Like, did you just like read one article before you got here?
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what, and I feel like that's baseball. So I get to sit here and laugh and revel in the idea that I win.
Well, man, the Padres.
This little peon in Portland, Oregon, that's done this stupid baseball show for almost a decade. I win.
Well, in particular, the Padres, I think, owning the Dodgers a little bit in the last day and a half or two with Manny Machado and that whole controversy with him throwing the ball that literally looks like he's throwing, like, ground ball practice to a little leaguer. But you know, Dave Roberts says that that's offensive.
Hold the phone here.
Dude, a week ago, I was so for Dave Roberts. I was, like, ready to run through a wall for that dude because he literally does make players feel like superstars. Great podcast. It's like Casey Sadler, former MLB pitcher and Mariner that he does with his wife. But in that one episode, they were talking about right after the Mariners fired Scott Service, like, you know, Service talking about maybe why he got fired, not necessarily connecting very well with players throughout his 9-10 year tenure with the Mariners, but Dave Roberts
tends to be more of a stoic guy.
Exactly.
Roberts is very much a player's coach.
And Roberts makes the 26th man, this was the quote that stuck out to me, makes the 26th man on the roster feel like an effing champion. And there's just some guys that have that ability, and those are the better managers, at least what Sadler and his wife were saying.
Sure.
And those are the guys
Tito was like that. We'll talk about Tito in the second hour. Tito was like that.
Huge get. And yeah, those are just the guys that people would rather play for. So I was ready to run through a wall for him a week ago, but now after hearing his, like, all calling out Manny Machado, like, oh, you're a bitch.
You're going to make number 26 feel good? Cool. Tommy Edmund is still a below-average center fielder in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, they're still a hitter short. The Dodgers lineup is still one batter short. It's unbelievable.
We paid $1 billion, and we can't hit the baseball.
Or pitch. Gotta go grab Jack Flaherty mid-season.
Oakley.
We got 7 starters on the DL or IL.
Oakley Dukley. Well, there's a great baseball show lined up for you. I'm sad Joe's not here because I know we would love to punish him for his O's and how they once again quietly, gracefully exited the playoffs. I wish I would have heard that fart, you know? You know, they're like a fart in the wind, but it's like one of those where I kind of wish it was like that really big, like...
Yeah, but Brandon Hyde will be back.
You know, like one of these, like a...
Like really audible.
Instead, it was just like a...
Man up and vanish like a fart in the wind, to quote Shawshank Redemption.
Exactly. I actually am going to go out on a limb and tell you that there is no sales retreat that Joe Fisher called in his one black ball of the year and said, hey, we're all gone on Tuesday because I don't want to face it.
Is he sitting?
I don't want to have to face what I have done.
Sitting with his Orioles pillow and his Jackson Holiday jersey, just like crying.
Yeah, I feel like he's like Antonio Pierce or Pete Carroll, where they have been put on notice by the NCAA, and they have to show cause before they can go back. And they're like, "Yeah, we're not going back.
Ah, peace out.
Yeah, we don't care. We're not going back." That's Joe Fisher, ladies and gentlemen. That's
Step
Joe
up.
Fisher.
Man up.
Dodging all of his things.
I have to live as a Seattle Mariners fan every day.
And Joe just gets to
Yep. Hide away.
Well, there's a lot to get to tonight. We'll get into this Dodgers-Padres series, which sometimes feels like a World Series matchup, and that's why we love playoff baseball. The American League is all over the place, just kind of like I thought it would be. When you have a chance to beat a team and you got out of having to deal with their starter and you blow it, that's a big problem. We'll get to that in the 8 o'clock hour. And also, the Yanks are put on notice. And we've put them on notice for weeks and months about this team and its construction. And it's rearing its ugly head right now. So we'll get to that in the second hour, along with hiring news that I'm excited and kind of mad about.
Mad?
Yeah. We'll get to that at the 8:30. We're going to skip fair or foul because we got just too much to get into. And so because of that, let's dive into straight up and forth. The game that happened earlier today, Jason Sukanik, who sits in the chair to the left of me, I just said goodbye to him. Let's talk about them Mets, okay? This Mets team looks like a team of destiny, and quite frankly, I don't know why. We'll do that next. The Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. 716 here.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Portland Sports Leader, don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. The Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further with Vancouver Ford than you should write before, during, after the sale. I love coming in with this Sugar Diaz music because we're actually going to talk about the Mets. And, you know, you call me 6 months ago and ask me if I'm going to be talking about the Mets in October. And the answer is, boy, oh, baby, the answer is absolutely not. I mean, do we need a waste segment and talk about how much money they're going to spend next year on a bunch of guys that aren't very good and still not be very good? Boy, am I wrong.
Weren't they 11 games under 500 at one point this season?
This team looks so for dead.
Yeah. Like, Francisco Lindor to start the year, he's been amazing, but he was hitting, like, .190 for April.
And what's hilarious is I love that you mentioned Frankie, because I think Frankie is the catapult. Yep. I know the look is polar bear. You know, that's kind of the idea, is that Pete Alonso is the big dude. But when Frankie got traded from Cleveland to New York and signed that massive deal, honestly, he's been a disappointment. He had a pretty good season last year, like especially to the end of the year. Then this year, he blew the doors off. You're like, okay, thank God. I don't want to pay a guy $32 million to bat 190. And Frankie has been absolutely fantastic. But, you know, I kind of alluded to this, and we'll get to it when we get to the Dodgers and the Yankees. This team, to me, is just, when I see them, they are not good. This Mets team is not good, okay? It's Frankie Lindor. Pete Alonso's got a big bop, but isn't always consistent, you know, struggled down the stretch. Brandon Nimmo, I think, is a good player, but probably overpaid. And this pitching staff is pretty meh, and the bullpen is pretty bad. Yet here we are. There's something about this team, this grimace team, this everyone thinks we suck attitude. You know, is Carlos Mendoza a good manager? I have no idea. Is Luis Severino a good starter? I have no idea. Is Pete Alonso worth the $30 million he's going to try to get in the offseason? I don't think so. I saw this funny stat, though. Pete Alonso, of his 40-ish, whatever he finished with, number of home runs on the season, only two were opposite field. He's got two home runs in the postseason right now, and both are opposite field. And one was the best moment of the playoffs so far, right? Is Pete Alonso hitting that baseball against the Brewers the best moment in the postseason so far?
Close. I mean, I don't know. Tatis's home run in the wild card round was pretty good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like that. Like there's that. There's. I mean, I don't know if the Dodgers win tonight. I think Teoscar's grand slam could end up being a pretty huge one.
Yeah, it is a big one, especially because you're down. But there's something about this Mets team. And look, I have the Phillies as the best team in the National League. I think they're the best 1 through 9 batting lineup. I think they have the 2 best starters of anybody in the playoffs right now. Because, like, Tarik Skubal's on Detroit, but then who? You know, Tanner Bibee's on Cleveland, but then who? Gerrit Cole, and then who? You know, there's not a lot of teams in this year's playoffs that have studs 1 and 2. And that's the Phillies to me. I think their bullpen is really solid and all that, et cetera. But it's almost like Philly walked into this series thinking these Mets, these guys are losers. Nobody cares. And they're caught with their pants down.
I'm a little confused as to, like, I don't know. I feel like Philly's lineup is full of stars. And then the Mets is kind of just full of, like, a different combination of guys that have been there before. But then, you know, a couple of young guys that maybe have played well at different parts of the season that they're just throwing out. And it's, like, working at the perfect time. I mean, what? Look at Acuna's younger brother, Luis Angel Acuna. Mm-hmm. Like, hit 300 the last month of the year, the last 2-3 weeks of the season. And then he's still on the playoff roster.
And I mean, Texas threw him away to the Mets because they knew they didn't have to pay for Scherzer or DeGrom, whichever, I think it was the Scherzer trade. They were like, oh yeah, we don't care. Yeah, you can have this guy. We were about to cut him, so good luck.
Yeah, but I mean, then him along with like the midseason acquisition of Jesse Winker at the deadline. Starling Marte has been around forever. He's been there before. He hasn't had a great season, but he hasn't had a bad season.
And he's batting 7th.
Exactly.
Like Starling Marte 3-4 years ago was batting 3 or 4.
And they've got defensive replacements. Like, I love how this is something that Yankees teams back in, like, you know, like their 3-4 World Series runs in the 90s, early 2000s did. They had defensive replacements, like, late in the game. And Iglesias coming in, like, to play short or moving over to third. Bader, after he pinch runs, going to center field. It just tells me that the Mets have more players than they know what to do with. And batting-wise, along with one of the best closers in baseball, Edwin Diaz, and then a ragtag group of pitchers. I mean, he's not like old man Sean Manaea, but he's kind of getting there. It feels like he's been in the bigs forever, and then all of a sudden you get a 7-inning almost shutout performance from a guy. The run basically was just the last hitter that he let on that didn't end up mattering. Like, you get performances from guys like that that you just didn't expect earlier in the season. Steve Cohen doesn't have to go pay $40, $45 million for Justin Verlander or Max Scherzer to get these performances that he was looking for. Seriously, this right. is what he was paying those guys for, but you're getting them from has-beens or decent to good major league players all at the right time. And to cap it, 2 things for you, Patrick. Their coaching staff. I don't know about Mendoza because I don't know much about him. I don't really have much faith in him personally, but 2 guys on his staff, John Gibbons, former Toronto Blue Jays manager.
I know Gibbons.
I love that guy. He is a gritty MF-er, and he's got like that Dan Jennings attitude that I would just run through a wall for if he were one of my coaches. And then one of their hitting coaches, former Oakland A, Eric Chavez.
Ooh.
One of the best hitters in baseball history. He's one of the best third basemen in baseball
history. He was the start of that Oakland third baseman run.
Yes, exactly. And he's one of the nicest guys in baseball history.
I
so you know.
See him on MLB Network all the time. Seems like a good dude.
And so you know that means he can communicate what his hitting skills are very well, and people are going to listen to him. Players are willing to buy into what they're selling. So it sounds like the Mets, as an organization, they don't need like the best player in baseball at every position because they've got the right vibe in the clubhouse. And I don't know if Cohen stumbled upon it or if Mendoza built the right staff and then brought in the perfect players to kind of make that magic happen. But that's kind of, it's like that magic and the feeling of the organization just all coming into the right place at the right time.
I love that you mentioned the late 90s, early 2000 Yankees, because I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and we were talking about, you remember when baseball, there was always guys. They weren't superstars, but they were guys. You know, they batted 270, played really solid defense.
Yep.
Kind of batted, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th in the lineup. They weren't flashy, but they were good. Guys like Scott Brosius.
Ah, yes.
Guys like Paul O'Neill. You know, Bernie is teetering a star versus one of these guys. But the Yankees had those guys.
Like a Stan Javier, like an Ed Sprague.
Yeah, people like that. Like just solid baseball players. And I think that's what we're seeing now is that the Mets have those. And they do rely a lot on Frankie, Nimmo, and Alonso. They do rely a lot on that, which is ultimately why I don't think they'll win the World Series. But right now, that's what they have going for them, is they are a collection, to your point, Schultze, they are a collection of baseball players. Look at their starters, Sean Manaea, Luis Severino. It's a bunch of guys, you know, Robertson, that kid Robertson who's been pitching, been starting for them. They're a bunch of guys that you would love to trade at the deadline for to bolster your staff.
Well, and then look at
these guys are being relied on.
Look at their bullpen, too. Diaz, obviously, a saves leader with the Mariners a few years ago, still one of the most elite closers in the game. Ryan Stanek, who was
Stanek's been pitching well.
Yeah.
And very well.
Mariners gave him away, and he was with the Astros during multiple World Series runs. That's a guy you need in your bullpen. He's been there before, and he sacks up, ready to pitch in whatever situation. And then the O, Adam Ottavino. You talk about guys that you want to acquire at the deadline. That's someone when the Mariners were looking for pitching help. I wish that the Mets were just, like, terrible, and they were just selling all season, because anyone, we'd love to have the O.
I'm going to be telling my children about a man named, speaking of O, about a man named Octavio Dotel.
Yes! Okay,
Octavio Dotel, LaTroy Hawkins. These relievers that pitch for damn near everyone.
Johnny Peralta.
These guys pitched for everyone.
Yeah, 20
teams. Were always there in the playoffs. They might have been on a bad team. They might have been on a good team. It didn't matter. They were always there, acquired at the deadline. They were like, I'm going to go sign with the White Sox because I'm going to get traded in July. And I'll just it out for a little bit, and then I'll get traded. And I think a lot of those guys, especially a Ryan Stanek, is one of those dudes. Adam Ottavino is that guy. So this team is interesting. There's a lot of fun behind it. I know the national media wants the Mets to be good because it's New York, et cetera, et cetera. But we've said on the show for months that this team's not very good. But when their back's been up against the wall, they have performed. They have shown up. They have done the only thing you can do. The only thing you can do is play the game in front of you. And the Mets have done that. I think the Brewers are a better team. I think the Phillies are a better team. And the Brewers are at home, and the Phillies are wondering if they're next. They lose tomorrow. They're gone.
Yeah. I mean, if you capitalize on the right opportunities at the right time, that's kind of the beautiful thing about baseball, especially in the postseason. It's chaos, right? The Mets, comeback win. Oh, big, huge slamming win. Like, they're literally on the precipice now. And I mean, I hate to say it as a Pacific Northwest guy, but I wouldn't mind seeing a Subway Series World Series. I wouldn't. I really wouldn't.
This Mets team is fascinating, which makes this series even more fascinating. And that's what I want to get into next. As fun as the Mets story has been, the grimace, and you know, we laughed about Hawk to a girl and all that stuff, and the dysfunction that's been going on, and the fact that Verlander and Scherzer are getting paid by the Mets when they could use that money elsewhere, yet somehow they're winning. Is this more about the Mets, like, figuring it out in the end, or is this more about the Phillies kind of struggling as the game progresses? We'll get to all that next, but first, there's Schultze with sports. There's the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Guilty as charged. I have a 2022 Bronco Sport in the lot right as we speak. Please don't rob me. That I absolutely love. That piece of shilt, I have to enunciate, that piece of shilt.
Good for you.
Needs to fire up the boys and get the offense going again. We've also got Aaron Judge and Mookie Betts, great regular season players in the playoffs. Neither of them can hit their booties with both hands, I responded with 2018 World Series MVP Mookie Betts would like to discuss this.
Yeah. He has hit in the postseason before. And I've got a good Yankees question for you coming up in the next hour.
Oh, fun. And I want to kind of finish up with the Phillies. We might kind of mid-segment transition from this Phillies-Mets to Dodgers-Padres, because there's just a lot to open up and divest from this. But it's funny, like, Zach Wheeler pitched amazing in Game 1. Okay, he was absolutely fantastic in Game 1, and that's what I expected. And the Phillies won. But I'll tell you what, in these last two games, the Mets have won. They've won with big hitting. They've been flashy. It's been the Polar Bear. It's been Nimmo. It's been Starling Marte today. You know, it's been a Jesse Winker today. You know, Jesse Winker against the Brewers had a big moment. Alonso's had a big moment. So it's kind of been dotted all over the place. But I'll tell you what, like, game two and game three, I'm looking over at that Phillies team like, why do I think you're the better team? You have done nothing to show me that I should think you're the better team. You're just names on a piece of paper right now. Does it, Jordan, I'll ask you, does it feel to you like the Phillies, I don't know. I don't think they're not trying. You've got Bryce Harper. As long as you have Bryce Harper, like, everybody's going to give their 100%. But does it seem to you that they're just not as emotionally attached as this Mets team?
Yeah, that's, I mean, it does feel like that. You know, I don't know. It's hard to quantify, like, playoff fire or like, how much individual guys get up for these kinds of games. But it's not like the Phillies, you know, haven't been recent World Series champions. Like, so you wonder, like, how hard it is to really, like, when you get there, like, go again at it. Like, because, I don't know, you always hear, like, after, like, a Super Bowl win or a World Series win, you know, like, I need to cherish this because it's so hard to get back here. And maybe they just, like, didn't even expect to be in this position at this point of the season. Like, I don't know. Maybe they're just leaning on the greatness of, like, Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, you know, Nick Castellanos. Just be great.
JT, like, Realmuto, Trey Turner. We got studs everywhere. Just go do what you do.
It's almost like the Yankees buying a team, you know, and the Phillies really have bought a team. None of these guys, like, unless I'm incorrect, other than, like,
none of those names we mentioned are homegrown.
Well,
they're homegrown guys, I believe, are like Bryson Stott and Alec Bohm.
Exactly. Those are the only two.
Who I love as future players. They still got some work to do now.
Yeah. Realmuto, like, along with Harper, like, all those guys kind of came in the same, yeah, Trey Turner came in that same 2-3 year window, then they fired Girardi, and it's, you know, left over with Rob
Gabe
Thompson.
Kapler.
Yeah, a couple of bad managers, but hey, Rob Thompson took them to a World Series, you know, so it just makes me wonder, it's like, well, they've been there before, if the fire's just not there at this point, they're professional athletes, right? And it's not like we're all sitting there, you know, like when we were 12 years old, thinking that every single player at every single moment when you're watching a game is giving 1,000% and wants to win the World Series. It's just not realistic. And I think we're running into that.
Yeah, there's a really cool comment that we should dive into in the offseason from Carlos Correa about the Twins at the end of the season. He said, there are guys in this clubhouse that when games become really pivotal, step up, and there are other guys in this clubhouse that when games become pivotal, become poison. And you're like, whoa, that's a bad clubhouse.
I love
that's
that
a bad
quote.
I love that quote too, but that means you're in a bad clubhouse, amigo.
No, it's so revealing. Let me give just a quick example. I literally watched this happen. I was in the locker room for some of the bad years of Seattle Mariners baseball doing post-game interviews, and one guy that got into it particularly one season with Eric Wedge, basically Wedge had gone out to basically try to defend him, say he was injured, but Jack Wilson wasn't really injured. He was removed from a game because he sucked and made like three errors. Yeah, Wedge was trying to protect him. Jack Wilson sure didn't let him. And Wilson essentially avoided the media the rest of the season, head down. And it just reminded me of a player that does not want to win, a player that does not want to be there. And that is exactly that kind of attitude, a guy that runs out of the locker room as soon as the ninth inning is done. That's that attitude that Carlos Correa is talking about. And that is so dangerous to a locker room, Patrick. You're right.
It's just so strange about that. Like, Dave Roberts just went out to the mound. Okay, he walked out of the dugout, and I was like, oh, he's pulling Walker Buehler. Machado just got a base hit, two outs, bottom of the five. I'm like, oh, he's pulling Buehler. Never pulled his arm out of his jacket, never signaled to the bullpen. He walked up, said four words, and walked away. The Phillies feel like they need that. The Dodgers feel like they need that. Guess who doesn't need that? The Mets. The Mets don't need Mendoza to go out there and say, hey, it's okay, you got this.
Well, because I think, like I was just saying, they didn't necessarily think they were going to be here at this point of the season. So when you're playing better, like, what are you going to do? Like, it's like you all of a sudden end up walking into a room where there's just cash laying around, right?
Right.
I'm going to take it. So this is what the Mets are doing. They're taking this opportunity.
Literally what we call house money.
Exactly. Yeah, they're playing with house money, and the Phillies essentially just, we've already been here, so we don't really care.
I think there's an interesting thing to tag back onto this national media narrative.
Yeah.
About how they don't really watch baseball. There's this thing that I keep hearing from the national media, not baseball guys, but from people that big time guys that are on this station, big time guys that are on other stations.
Yeah.
they say, you know, like there's this new feeling in baseball where there's no such thing as momentum. The momentum's not real in baseball.
Stop.
Momentum is tomorrow's starting pitcher, blah, blah, blah. That is wrong. Paging the New York Mets, paging the San Diego Padres, and dare I say, paging the Kansas City Royals. Like, if you're telling me there's not momentum in baseball, this Mets team firmly believes, not irrationally believes, firmly believes they can beat the Phillies, and right now they're the better team.
The Seattle Mariners just became the fastest team ever in baseball history to drop a 10-game division lead, and you're telling me there's no such thing as momentum?
They were cooked down the stretch.
Yeah, there
was no way they were winning games. They knew they were done, and they were done.
Yeah, and that's momentum going down. Those are the same people saying that, like, a manager doesn't affect the game. That's bullsh. Like, stop. The game isn't all, like, done on paper. It is, as we're seeing, I mean, anything can happen, and that's, once again, the beautiful thing about postseason baseball.
And that's what's amazing as we switch over and kind of give some National League, finish out this National League here where we're talking about Dodgers and Padres as well. And I'd like to slide over to them because this conversation is completely apropos for the Padres. You know, the Padres have almost, look, the Dodgers number one rival is the Giants. It will always be the Giants. It always has been the Giants. It was the Giants when it was Polo and Ebbets, when it was Duke and Willie. It's always Dodgers Giants, always going to be Dodgers Giants. And, you know, it reminds me a little bit of Oregon UW. Oregon UW is the rivalry. They hate each other. There's a long-standing history. Teams have gone long periods of beating them every year. Then it's flipped, and teams are beating them every year. You know, Justin Herbert's a top-five drafted quarterback. Looks like the real deal in the NFL. Had a UW problem, you know? Right now, Dan Lanning has a UW problem.
Michigan, you know, has a UW problem.
Yeah, like there are these rivalries that are built in. And then there's the little kids out in Pullman, Washington that look and say, no, we're UW's rival. And UW's like, that's cute, kids. Go somewhere else. Welcome to the big boy table. And then we get to show up and punch them in the face. We almost knocked them out last year. You know, they were lucky to make the playoffs because they kicked a game-winning field goal that Michael Penix couldn't watch because they looked over little brother. And little brother came to punch them in the face. And that's what's going on in this Dodger series right now. The fan base despises the Giants so much that they forgot that this Padres team is really, really stinking good.
I mean, I was at the Dodgers clinching game for the division series against the Padres in the regular season. And I could see, like, how much they hated San Diego, but without, like, them throwing things onto the field. That was just egregious. And the foaming at the mouth attitude there, don't need that. But that rivalry alone, I mean, doesn't that kind of fuel some of the best baseball, like, in history? Like, when that kind of stuff's happening? It always does.
Totally. And we'll get into that, you know, coming up next as we finish out our thoughts on how this Dodger-Padres series is going right now. But the Padres came to play. They came to play. They said, hey, man, we're your rival. You hate us. It's like they hate you. The Padre fans hate the Dodgers so much because they don't hate them as much as they hate them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get
that's what I mean about Wazoo. Like, we hate the Huskies. And when the Huskies are like, yeah, we don't care about you. We care more about Oregon. That makes us more mad. And I feel like San Diego's having that. And they're getting their cake right now.
It's true. Well,
because watching these three games right now, I know who the better team is. The Dodgers might come through, but I know who the better team is.
1-9, San Diego's better. And they've got two guys playing like gods at this point of the season so far. Kyle Higashioka, which, hello, backup catcher all of a sudden playing like a stud, and Tatis Jr., 4 home runs so far in the postseason.
And they're being led by a guy that everyone questioned his leadership. That's what I want to get into next. This Padres-Dodgers series is absolutely fascinating. From people throwing stuff on the field, to managers calling out other players, to catches in the outfield that aren't catches but are catches. Like, there is a lot to get into. So we'll do the Padres-Dodgers next. American League in the second hour, so stick with us. This is the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we'll slide over to the American League as... Boy, I feel like those matchups are a little more unpredictable than what we got over here. Maybe it's that the emotion is just so raw in the National League, and the American League feels like professionals, just like we are here. Today is our starting pitcher. We would like to win the baseball game today.
Yeah, Aaron Boone will be shouting at you to tighten your ass up if you don't act like a pro.
Steven Vogt's like, hey, just throwing the best pitchers I got out there. So we'll get to the American League in the second hour. Plus, we got, I'll tell you what, I got some beef with Francona. Okay, so we'll get to that at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour as well. But sticking with this Padres-Dodgers series, I think what's the most fascinating, and I don't want to, like, sit here and toot-toot-ma-toot my own horn, but I'm going to toot-toot-ma-toot my own horn here. This Dodger team has so many flaws, and this Padres team is exposing them massively. What starter for the Dodgers has come out and pitched well?
It's a good question.
That's a great question. And you didn't even answer it because there is no answer.
No.
Walker Buehler went far today. Okay, cool. You're losing.
I mean, he still gave up all six earned runs.
You know, they won game one, but Yamamoto was not good. And I give Yamamoto a little bit of slack as he was hurt at the end of the season. And this is kind of his first real game back. So I'll give him a little bit of slack, but he wasn't that good either. Outside of Shohei, Mookie, and Freddie, Teoscar's Grand Slam tonight's really the only thing I've seen this squad do.
Yep.
We were talking earlier about just needing baseball guys. The Dodgers just don't have it.
Well, even the way that, like, the national television coverage of the Dodgers is going, it's obvious why they want the Dodgers to be there. One, because it's Los Angeles. Two, because of Shohei Ohtani. What was that graphic? Like, Shohei Ohtani, three batters away. I saw a tweet that said, like, oh, they're making Shohei Ohtani out to be the boogeyman with this. And it's like, I get that, like, in maybe, like, a Barry Bonds, you know, historic all-time, I'm chasing Hank Aaron's record, like, 756 to break. And, yeah, like, you can see this in three batters, like, stick around. But I love Ohtani. He's the greatest baseball player of all time. But, like, if that's all we're looking at for the Dodgers, as you say, I mean, they do have Mookie Betts as well. Although, what is he, like, 0 for 20-something coming into tonight?
Before, like, the home run tonight, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, he's, I mean, Freddie Freeman, he's kind of been quiet as well. Like, it's just, it's a lineup full of highly paid dudes that aren't doing diddly.
I was on Reddit during the second inning of the Mets-Phillies game today. And somebody posted a meme that was a live look-in on the Mets-Phillies, and it was Shohei's face, and it says, he will be batting in 4 hours.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was a meme. It was a joke. But that's what the joke was. Okay, the joke was like, I know you're sitting here watching Mets-Phillies, but just so you know, coming up on Fox a little bit later today, in 4 hours, Shohei Ohtani will attempt to hit a baseball.
He'll be on this screen.
And that's why I think, you know, that's why I think a lot of the national media and even baseball itself, they want this. They want the drama. Dodgers, Padres. I would think Mets, Phillies would be a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
I think as a longtime AL Central guy, Cleveland, Detroit is a huge deal for me right now. If I lose to the Tigers, I'm going to blow my brains out. Like, if I lose to the Yankees, if I lose to the Astros, like, even a Mariners team or a Rangers team or a Rays team or an Orioles team, that's fine. But if I lose to the Tigers, I'm freaking out. I can't lose to the Tigers. That's my division losers. Those guys are in the basement. And the national media is doing a really good job with this Padres-Dodgers series of blowing everything up, looking at everything in the tiniest minuscule. Jerks and Profar going into the outfield to rob that home run and having a stare down with a fan, which then creates someone throwing a ball on the field and then other people throwing other objects, which I don't condone, but that's drama. That's must-watch TV. Manny Machado ditches a ball into the Dodger bullpen. It's like, oh, hey, he's throwing at Dave Roberts. And it's like, well, I'm pretty sure if Manny wanted to hit Dave Roberts, he would hit him.
Yeah, he threw it at
that,
the ground.
That guy plays third base and can throw to first on a rope. I'm pretty sure he can throw the baseball wherever he wants.
Yeah.
But it's this manufactured drama to heighten this series, which is fascinating because this series doesn't even need any of that manufacturing. Just watching the play on the field is high stakes. You can see the way Fernando Tatis swings a bat. You can see that Shohei is probably trying a little too hard. You can see that Mookie is trying to be Mookie. You can see that Freddie's off. But you can see that Machado has become a leader in his 30s. They have always said he's not a leader. He pulls them all aside in game two. Pulls everybody into a team meeting in the middle of the game, in the dugout. They asked, what did Machado say in that? He's like, there's a lot of words I can't say.
Yeah, a lot of F.
Because he looked at him and just said, guys, do your bleeping jobs. Let's get this going. And I think this San Diego Padres team reeks, in my opinion, of the 04 Boston Red Sox with less talent.
Ooh, okay.
That Red Sox team in 04 had starters up the wazoo. King has been good. Tonight he got roughed up later on. You get no Musgrove now with the Tommy John, RIP. Dylan Cease didn't look awesome. So that's my only difference. But in terms of mojo, in terms of, like, you remember in 04, the lovable idiots? You know, the idiots, that's what they call them, Cowboy Up.
Something, yeah.
And so, you know, Kevin Millar and
Doug Mankiewicz. Yeah.
They had a bunch of dudes that were just like, yeah, man, I'm Scott Brosius. Nobody knows who I am, but I'm going to get a big hit in a World Series. More so than the Mets. I think the Mets are fun. I think they're silly. I think they're goofy. I think it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this team continues to do this. The Padres are the real deal, though.
The Padres, I mean, it's actually kind of similar to what the Mets, I feel like, other than maybe like two positions more with star players. The Padres are filled out with Jerickson Profar, who's a good player, having a really good couple of years.
The most amazing season he's ever had in his life.
Jackson Merrill, who probably a rookie of the year.
It's the future.
We had no idea that the Padres were going to get that at the beginning of the season. I mean,
they still got four shortstops.
Exactly. We've always joked about
Sung Kim's not even healthy. He's not even playing.
No, but David Peralta, veteran who's been around forever, has made up for that and seemingly has filled in the gaps. So when you look at them 1-9,
four shortstops and none of them play shortstop.
Yeah, and then Cronenworth's been fine, and obviously they acquired Arias mid-season or like 2 months into the season.
Third batting title in three seasons for three different teams.
Exactly. So he's always on base, and the Dodgers, I mean, like, I frankly question their lineup construction when they're taking Andy Pages out in the postseason and then throwing, like, Tommy Edmund, sure, but Miguel Rojas, you want to put Rojas in and give him at-bats at shortstop instead of giving Pages at-bats in the outfield? Like, Roberts, I feel like maybe he's just, like, wondering what to do at this point. It's mismanagement, like, to the max, in my opinion, because that alone is an easy decision for me. Like, don't, like, Enrique Hernandez, Kike's like 0-for-2 in his pinch hits so far, so you can't trust him like he could before.
Miguel Rojas, Tommy Edamame, whatever exactly. His name is.
Like, former Mariner Chris Taylor, it's like, yo, these guys are all the heroes of yesteryear. Can they be heroes again? I mean, maybe, but when the Dodgers are in the postseason at this point, you're expecting Freddie Freeman to be slamming. You're expecting Mookie to be slamming every game instead of, you know, going 0-for-20, whatever, until he hits one.
We'll get out on this. Let me ask you this question. This game, we're in the seventh still. It's 6-5 Padres. If the Padres win, this series is over.
Yes.
If the Dodgers win, I don't believe the series is over. Are those? Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, no, that's fair, because then you've got a, what? It's a 2-2 tie.
It'd be 2-2.
Yeah. No, the series is...
No, it's 1-1 right now.
Oh, sorry,
now.
So sorry. So it'd be, yeah.
So it'd be 2-1. Whoever goes
up. 2-1 Dodgers.
But I feel like if the Padres go up 2-1, the series is over. But if the Dodgers go up 2-1, I don't think it's over.
Yeah. No, I think that's a fair statement. Dodgers just can't... You're saying the Dodgers can't close. Coffee's for closers, and the Dodgers can't drink a cup of coffee right now.
That's what I'm saying.
I gotcha.
And a lot of that falls on Dave Roberts. If they lose to the Padres right now, I fire Dave Roberts.
Really?
And I know I've been on that train for a while.
I don't know.
And we'll talk about Yankees Royals coming up next. But, like, if Aaron Boone loses the Royals, you're fired.
You think so?
How can that not be the same standard for Dave Roberts?
Because Dave Roberts has won 11 of 12 division titles and technically a World Series in that, and they've been to, what, two more?
What was that word you said before, World Series?
Technically.
Yeah, exactly.
But they've been to how many? Two more. So.
Cool. Ask Bobby Cox how that went.
Well, Bobby Cox was one of the greatest.
Ask Marv Levy how that went.
Bobby Cox is still one of the greatest managers of Braves history of all time, and they won World Series.
I understand, man, but horseshoes and hand grenades, dude, like... Well, you can't eventually get it done.
You can't all. What do you? What do
you? When you spend $1 billion, you better get it done.
They've gotten close a lot.
Close isn't good enough.
Who's better than Dave Roberts? And see, this is where I kind of differ with you. Like
Terry Francona.
Well, okay.
We just didn't know he was available.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Yeah, it's like when Bruce Bochy and Dusty Baker came out. It's like,
what? How'd the Rangers get Bochy?
Come on!
He was available? He applied?
No, but who's better than Dave Roberts? Like, Aaron Boone, I do believe the Yankees probably could do better than Aaron Boone, but like, who are the Dodgers going to go get that's better than Dave Roberts? Go back to Don Mattingly? Like, come on.
No, I'd rather have Joe Maddon.
I love Joe Maddon. I wanted the Mariners before the Dan Wilson hire. I wanted the Mariners to look at Joe Maddon this offseason. I did, yeah.
All right, that's enough of this. Boy, I can't wait. I hope this series better go five. An entertaining standpoint, just please give me five games.
Like you say, if the Dodgers win game three, then it probably will go five. But yeah, San Diego's got it in the bag if they win.
Please, come on. But give me five, just for funsies. Like Phillies, same to you. Give me five.
I don't know. You know what? Watching the Dodgers get ousted just quickly, like last season, like when all the fans were freaking out saying the format needed to be changed, like I'd be willing
to
win.
It's rigged against us. Like, what are you, Trump? Like, no, man, you lost.
The good teams shouldn't play until the very, very what? So they automatically get into the World Series? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, like back in 1948, where the American League winner and the National League winner just played in a World Series?
What was the first ever like college football game? Like 1869, Rutgers v. Princeton. They were both named national champions that year. That's what everybody wants. Let's do that for baseball. Everybody's a champion.
All right, we come back. Loaded second hour. We'll get into, as I mentioned, Terry Francona. He's back in baseball, and boy, am I mad about it. Never thought I'd say that in my entire life. Plus, we'll dive into the American League Series, which is, if you're a nerdy baseball fan, that's some nerdy baseball. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hot Corner, me and Schultzy tonight, 1080 The Fan.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.